Fundamental, thank you. Blessings. Blessings of peace and love and joy and the Holy Ghost to each one of you. Thank you, Luke, for that lesson to all of us. Seeing where he's sitting right now, but that was a very good reminder. The book of James teaches us that the tongue has a world of iniquity. And is that not something? Think of the world, and it says it has a world of iniquity in it. It's very sobering to think of what all James says about the tongue. It says it's a little member and it defiles the whole body. Just that little member defiles the whole body. So peace and blessings to each one this morning. Tremendous joy to be here with you. Well, this morning, as we open up here, I would like to bring our attention to there's parents here that have children that have special needs. And when I see these children and these parents, it always does something to my heart. And I would just like to bless each of you parents for all the love and care that each one of you ministers to those children you have that have special needs. And I just wonder if I can have your children's attention for a little. It's important that you, it's important how you treat the children that are different than you are. There are children here that God made different than you are. And I think it's important that we always are aware of the attitudes that we have in our heart towards these children that God has made different. You know, these children will never have life. They'll never experience life the way you have it. But they're God's special children. The Bible says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. So, the Lord bless you, parents. The Lord bless you, children, as you relate to these special ones that God has in your midst. Sometimes it feels like, is this where you want it, Brother Stephen? Up higher? Okay. So can we all just stand for a word of prayer? That would be a blessing. Father, in your presence, we tremble as the eyes of our faith seek our great, great God. Lord, we've gathered to seek you. We want to understand your ways. We want to understand your heart and your will for our lives. And I think each one here wants to be pleasing to you. So, Father, we tremble as we think of all that you are, and what we do know of you is but a drop in the pail compared to what you are. So, Father, but you've invited us to come. So we come The word boldly doesn't mean arrogantly or without care or concern. The word boldly is a picture that you surely, the way is open to come. That you want us to not hesitate to come, but that you want us to come. And so, Father, unworthily we come, and we call on the God of all grace, the God of all. And we ask, God, that you would continue to meet with us here today, that you would, your favor would be on each of our lives, as we've heard, and that all, Lord, that there's times we need chastisement, there's times that we need rebuke, there's times we need to be exhorted. So what it is that we need today, Lord, we're looking to you, and we're trusting you. And Lord, we don't ask these things as one that just puts words in the air, but we ask these prayers. We pray these things to a prayer-answering God that we know hears our prayer, and that a God that knows what to do with each prayer. And we know that you do what is best and right with each prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for each soul that is here. And we pray that each will experience eternal life in your presence forever and ever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your life, your death, your example, your words. We just marvel as we study you, as we can't fathom your life. Thank you, Lord, in your worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes, Brother Mervin, I didn't finish my introduction. Thank you for that wonderful opening. Brother Mervin, I'm not sure where you're sitting, but that was so beautiful. That was so beautiful. I just really appreciated it. So if I may, use the board here some today. So as we begin our time together here, I'm looking for a volunteer. We're going to start our time together here by speaking of the heavens. And I thought it would be just tremendous blessing to have a volunteer come up and draw just the first heavens to scale. Can you draw just the first heavens to scale here on the board? Is there a volunteer for that? That helps us see how much higher God is than we are, and how much greater His ways are than our ways. It is impossible for anyone to draw any of the heavens to scale up here on this board. But we do want to speak of the heavens today. So as we reference to the heavens, this is going to be the first heaven, and the Bible talks about it. It's where the birds, the clouds, and the things that the things that fly. This is the first heaven. Maybe we'll just put birds in here. And the Bible speaks of another heaven. And this heaven, the Bible actually speaks of three heavens. The next heaven we want to talk about today, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 8, it says the firmament, which is called heaven. And in that heaven, in that firmament, we have all the planets. We have the stars. We have the sun. And we have all of that. Now the Bible speaks of another heaven. And this heaven is probably the most important place we can speak of on earth. There's a lot going on in this heaven. The Greek word is ouranos. Ouranos. And the reason that I want to reference to that Greek word some today is because the word heaven is used so much that when we hear the word heaven, it's like there's confusion that comes into many minds. But today, ouranos is where God dwells. God and all the heavenly beings dwell in ouranos. Now, I think it's only proper that we... I'm going to put the Greek word up here so that you can remember it in a way that you can pronounce it. This is not how it's spelled in the Greek, but this will help you remember this word. Now there's a fourth heaven that I'd like to just briefly reference here. And this fourth heaven is where everyone goes that dies. And they go to this heaven and they do whatever they like to do here on earth. If they like basketball, then they die and they go to this heaven and they play basketball. If they like to play baseball or if they like to fish, they die and they go to this heaven and they fish. But I just want to say that there is no heaven like that. But what we hear about this heaven affects how we think about all the other heavens. It really does. This fourth heaven doesn't exist, but we hear about it all the time. And I just want you to know there is no heaven like that. People don't die and go to a paradise where they can do whatever they want. They can just fish, play basketball, just however they want it. That's heaven. And that's the common view of heaven in our society, you might say. But this heaven doesn't exist. Now, some interesting things about Uranus. Man has created some amazing telescopes. The Hubble is now being replaced with a scope that is how many times stronger than even the Hubble was? How many years ago was the Hubble taken up? I don't have all of this information in here, but the Hubble is actually outdated. But it's amazing what all the pictures and all the things that were discovered in our universe with the Hubble Space Scope. But it's way outdated. But one thing that they have never found, they've never found Uranus. With all the technology man has and all the things they've been able to do, this is one place. I placed it up here where I did because we don't really know where it is, right? Does anyone know where it is? Where Uranus really is? I'm not sure that we do. But with all the technology that man has, they have yet to find Uranus. Now, we get caught up here on earth. We get caught up in our life and whatnot all. But I would like to take our attention to Uranus this morning. And I'd like to draw some principles from Uranus, just a few, maybe only three for now. Because what's happening in Uranus is more important than anything that's happening here on Earth. Is that right? Because Uranus, we don't know how long that heaven has been established. But we do know that this Earth will soon pass away. And in eternity, it will almost be like Earth never was. The only thing that we're going to be reminded of in Uranus when we get up there is the faithful that were here on Earth. Other than that, that's the other thing I do want to say. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth, and it talks about a new Jerusalem, and it talks about all of that, but we're not speaking about any of that today. Those are things that we're just not going to talk about. But I want us to remember that what is happening here right now is probably just as important as what is happening here on earth. It's important because we can draw principles and we can this Uranus right here, that needs to be the goal of each one here. And if that is our goal, then what is happening there, the principles, the things that are happening there, is what we want to focus on in our life here. It was really interesting. In Matthew 3, these words, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him." Notice the word heavens here is plural. So in my mind, it was all of the heavens were open. I'll finish reading here. "The heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from Uranus," Uranus, this voice came from Uranus, "and it read all the way through all the other heavens, and it said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I think that this voice came from Uranus, and it came past all the other heavens. And that's just interesting. That's just something I want you to think about. So in Uranus, we have God's throne that is established forever, right? Is it possible that anything will ever threaten the throne of God that is forever established in Uranus? It's established as an executive throne where all rule will always come from forever and ever. And it is impossible that anything will ever threaten that rule or that throne. And that throne is established in Uranus forever. Now, Uranus is a unique word. We find it 284 times in the New Testament. And this is the word that is referring to the heaven that God's throne is established in. There's times it's plural. It's most common in the book of Matthew. We find this word in the Gospel of Matthew 84 times, Uranus. Uranus. And in the book of Revelation, 54 times. Jesus used this word over and over. In the Gospel of Matthew, the first 11 chapters, 17 times Jesus refers to my Father, which is in Uranus. My Father, which is in Uranus. Is that where your Father is? Do you have a Father? Yes, it is an amazing thing to have a Father. Over the years, there's probably a dozen or more things, dozen or more scriptures that have been a blessing to me as souls come and they don't know where they stand with God. They don't know if they're right with God or where they are. And you know, if we don't know where we are, how do we know where to go? So it is important to the degree that we understand where we are in our walk with God. But this is a big one. When someone has a Father, when someone has a Father in Uranus or a Father in heaven, or they have a Father, that brings everlasting change into that person's life. They no longer have to fight for their own way. They don't have to fight for everything. They don't have to worry or fret about anything. They have a Father. And when we have a Father, it changes almost every aspect of our life. We have a Father. And Jesus Christ had a Father that was in Uranus. Uranus. It's a powerful thing. Jesus Christ said that if we are misused and abused and we're not used rightly, if we want to be children of our Father in Uranus, he said that we should pray for them. We should pray for the ones that misuse us if we want to be children of our Father in Uranus. Uranus, if I can say it right here. Jesus says the kingdom of Uranus is here. Those are the words he uses. That kingdom is here. The kingdom of Uranus. And it's available to every one of us. There are conditions that we need to embrace to be a part of that kingdom. Jesus Christ says that we should be perfect like our Father in Uranos is perfect. He says that. And Jesus in Matthew 6 says, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in Uranos. Our Father which art in Uranos. We should pray to Him. We could talk here. I think I'm going to try to skip through some of this notes. So it's common for... So we have the words Abba Father in the New Testament. How many of you have run into those words? Abba Father. They're used 3 or 4 times in the New Testament. And a couple of weeks ago, I was just wondering, Abba Father, what does this mean? So it takes some time to get to the bottom of the Word of God. The Word of God is so deep. It's so powerful. It's so amazing. So it takes time to get to the bottom of it. And this didn't take all that long, but the word Abba is the Hebrew word for father. And so it was very common for young Jewish boys to say, to walk and say, Father, Father, Father. And so the Greek word is Abba, or the Hebrew word is Abba, and the Greek word is Father. So basically that term is saying Father, 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 Father. Just throwing that out there. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:15, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. And it's good. But it's important to me as to just mention, you know, we hear God's name used. And we hear the word Father. But when we can say God's name and it doesn't deepen our innards, have a reverence, the reverence that God deserves, then I think we want to allow God to do a deeper work of reverence for Him in our heart. I don't think we should be able to use God's name irreverently, brothers and sisters. I think when that name comes to our mind, there should be something that happens deep in our heart. And I'm not sure how anyone can use that name in vain, ever. We can go to Scripture in Acts chapter 7 that teaches us, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. And what house ye build me, what house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? There are Scriptures that we could go to validate that Uranus is God's throne. It's where the heavenly beings dwell in God's presence in that way. So today, my goal is to not give you knowledge, but there's four principles that after today is over, I would like for God to continue to put in your heart. And three of them are drawn from Uranos. Uranos. And three of those principles are drawn there. And while this comes to mind, I just marvel over and over at God's wisdom. Over and over, Paul talks about mysteries, and there's things that we don't know about God. There's so many things we don't know about the Bible, but I am just amazed over and over as God takes simple things that He has in heaven and He gives us replicas of them here on earth. And what we're going to talk about today is principles that will build a heavenly home. Principles that will build a heavenly home. And we really should write it up here. Normally I would. And so if I don't get anything else said today, at least you'll have some idea what I was trying to say. And what's interesting is we're going to draw some principles that are being exercised in Uranos right now. And so if those principles are being, if those principles are in action up there, are they not important that they find their way into our homes and into our lives? Now, you know, there's a difference between knowledge, something we know, and something that we, that somehow God puts in our heart. And that's my prayer. It's the things that are in our heart that we, that it's those things in our, it's the principles, the precepts, the commandments, those things that are in our heart that affect how we make decisions, how we think. And so that's my goal today, that God will help these things be in my heart and all of our hearts. What happens many times, instead of godly principles finding their way into our heart that we make decisions from, we turn to human thinking or philosophy, or we make decisions based on how other people make decisions. And so God's principles, we'll talk about that some. A principle is a basic important truth. It's basically a law, a nice way to say a law. It's a settled rule of action, a governing law of conduct, an opinion or belief which exercises a directing influence on the life and our behavior. A rule, usually a right one, of conduct, consistently directing one's actions as a person. A person of no principle has no values. So we could spend a lot of time on just this definition of a principle. But there are principles throughout God's Word. Learn to, as you're reading God's Word, don't just read it. Read it and try to draw things from God's Word that will help me change my life. Things that I can apply to my life. You know, that's the difference in the evangelical gospel. The evangelical gospel says, when I get born again, it's all over. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter what I live or how I do. That's not what the Bible says. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. The new birth is an amazing beginning. It's an entrance into God's kingdom. No one can serve God unless he is born of him. The Word of God makes that clear. But many, many people, many people get born again that don't go on to become one of God's chosen people, one of God's chosen sons. And I don't mean to, that's not my message here today, but how did I get off on that rabbit trail? What was I saying? I was talking about the Word of God, I was talking about the evangelical gospel, and it is about our relationship with God. And it is important. So one principle can have many applications. I think I should write this up here as well. That's what I love about principles in God's Word. So you can have, I'm not sure if I have a good example ready here. I can say, okay, Steve, you cannot do this and this. So Steve, he obeys and he doesn't do this and this. But if Steve has a principle in his heart, that principle is going to guide him in almost every area of his life. Does that make any sense? That's why I love principles from God's Word. Another word for them is precepts. In Psalms, there was a lot said about precepts and precepts is interpreted as principles in some translations. One principle equals many applications. Be nice if that was up the same height, wouldn't it?
Oh well, I think you're all getting it right.
Should have, but remember that one principle in my heart, one principle can affect so many areas of my life. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that exciting?
The Word of God says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Through thy principles I get understanding, through thy principles. Therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 119:98 says, through thy commandments hast thou made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me.
Think of that. Can we all stand for a little bit? Stretch. Can y'all stretch a little bit here? Think about that. God's commandments makes us wiser than our enemies. Wiser than our enemies, these precepts. For they are ever with me. They're in our heart. This principle, when it ends up in our heart, it's powerful. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Think of that. More understanding than the people teaching him. This is in the book of Psalms.
For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts.
The power of one principle that I allow God to put deep in my heart can guide us in so many applications of our life. It's powerful. I just want to lay that foundation.
You can be seated here. You can be seated. Faith is a principle. Humility.
And so what happens is, faith, when we exercise the principle of faith, there's things that happen when we do. And if we don't, and it's unbelief, then there's, let's go on here.
So the first principle that we want to look at today, and it seems too basic to talk about.
It seems like in our day we want something new and something exciting.
But the first principle that's happening up here in Udanos is God's presence. God is present in Udanos. God is in heaven.
And always remember, we're talking about principles that will build a heavenly home. And it's God's presence in heaven that makes heaven heaven. The minute God is not in heaven, heaven immediately will be hell. And that is why so many homes on earth are more like hell than they are heaven.
Because God's presence is not there. Isaiah says, Isaiah 57, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We find everything that God is
where he is present. Think of that. This is something that I'm not sure how this thought came to me, but for the last couple months, I think everywhere that God's presence is, everything that God is there. Now, we need another volunteer to come up and identify all that God is. That is absolutely amazing. We have no way of knowing all that he is. But wherever God is, wherever his presence is, all that he is there.
And it's a powerful, God's presence, don't just write me off. It is an amazing, important principle to have his presence in our homes. Wherever God is, you will find no lack. When God is there, what else do we need?
You know, before you just write me off and you say, well, God's everywhere. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God in Genesis.
And God called and said, where art thou? Adam and Eve, where art thou? How about you? Is he calling you today?
Are you in God's presence today? The Bible says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. We don't know where he went, but we know that he went out from the presence of the Lord. So before you just say this isn't an important principle, it's probably the most important principle we'll discuss today. The presence of God.
Where God is, All that he is. The Bible doesn't say that Cain was driven out of God's presence by God. It says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And each one of us easily have that ability to go out from the presence of the Lord. It says Cain did that on his own. How did that work out for Cain? Not well, did it? It's important, God's presence. Up in Uranos, God's presence will always be there. God's presence will never be missing up in Uranos. And this is the first principle that I want you to take home with you as you think of establishing your home here on earth. You think about this principle. We need God's presence in our home. What has to change in my home so that more of God's presence can be there? Let this principle guide you. It's a very important one. And it will always be, this principle will always be in Uranos. And if we start this principle in our home here on earth, we have a good chance that whoever's in that home can be in Uranos someday. Can be in Uranos. The second principle is the principle of honor. This is a deep one. You know, God created us to honor Him. We're made to honor, we all honor something. Can we stand again for a little bit? I'm not sure. Sometimes I wonder if you all are with me. And maybe I'm a little Melvin, do you all sing 363 much here? Look at it, and maybe we can sing it here in a little bit. The principle of honor. Now, I think I could ask your children, I'd say, what do mom and dad honor? What has the highest place in their life? And I trust it's God. I really do. But this is a principle that I find in my life can go deeper and deeper and deeper. When we honor God, that means when we're misused, when we suffer persecution, it doesn't matter what. When we're defrauded, this principle runs deep. To live a life of honor for God. And when we honor God, there are things we will not do and we will not struggle with when we have this principle that guides us in our life. It is a deep one. You can be seated. I'm going to read some scripture here. This principle of honor, my dear brothers and sister, every time you read any account of anything that's happening in heaven, this principle just comes screaming out at you. God is up in Uranos, and He will not be dishonored. I mean, this principle, it doesn't really say it in the Bible, but it's all over. Every time you read of heaven, everything up there is honoring God with all that it has to honor. It is honoring God. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Up in Uranos, God is always honored. Not just part of the time, not just when we feel like it. Every moment, He is being honored. And this is an important principle that we want in our homes if we're going to have a heavenly home. And this is a principle that will reap tremendous blessings and rewards for everyone in your home forever and ever if you establish it in your heart and in your home. The value we place on something determines our level of honor. It's just that way. We're all made to honor things. So if we honor a car, that will come out in our life. How can I say it? The value we place on it. I should have brought some examples. I should have. But the honor we place on something determines our level. The value we place on something determines the honor, the level of our honor, if I can say it right. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, God clearly says, "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be esteemed lightly." There is a principle here, brothers. Please take this one home with you. Please take this one. It is a powerful one. So many people want God to bless them, but what they forget is they must first bless God. God blesses them that bless Him, and God honors them that honor Him. God made us. He doesn't need to take the first step in this one. He's looking to us to take the first step. We need to honor Him, and He'll honor us. I promise you, it will never fail. May we always let the honor due to God Himself have the very first place in our lives. May that honor for His name, for His word, for His people, for all that God is, may that always have its first place in my life. God's word exhorts us to honor Him. We honor God by acknowledging His complete sovereign rule in our lives. When God's complete sovereign rule is in our lives, we're honoring Him. God is worthy of everyone here's honor, is He not? God is worthy. God is worthy. And there, up in Uranos, God has made watchers. And they're up in heaven. And there, I think their sole purpose is that they're watching for those where there's honor and where there's glory. Because He's not going to share that with anyone else. It's amazing. That's a whole other message on its own. But those watchers in the Word of God, we see them over and over mentioned here and there. Again, many men, many times, even God's people find a lack of fulfillment, a lack of purpose, a lack of understanding. But just remember this, God created you to honor Him. It's one of your highest, it's one of the greatest purposes He made you. And when you honor Him, you bring a lot of fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose and direction into your life. You really do. When we honor Him, we fulfill the greatest reason for our existence. The greatest reason that we exist is to honor Him. We should honor Him for all of His power, for all of His glory, for His excellent character, for His holiness. There's so many ways that we can honor God. May our prayers, our praise, and our worship rent those heavens open again, going back up to the throne of God. God would have us do that. God would have us rent the heavens here with all of our prayers, our praise, our worship, and our honor to Him. Let us honor the holiness of God, the justice of God, and the mercy of God. Now, this third principle, we're going to go. This is another principle that you need in your home that is being exercised up here in Uranos. Uranos. And this is the principle of exclusion. And this may sound really weird, but it's probably one of the most, I think they're all important here today. But somehow we live in a society, or we are exposed to a Christianity that doesn't want to cut anything off. I want to have all that I want and have all of God. But see, that's not That's not happening in heaven. It's not happening in heaven. Although the Bible does not specifically teach in so many words, God's law of exclusion is taught in principle. Think about Noah. God told Noah to go build an ark, and he said, use this kind of wood. He said, use gopher wood. So when God says, do this, then he excludes everything else. God didn't say, okay, Noah, I don't want you to use ash. I don't want you to use oak. I don't want you to use maple or cherry or elm or all of these. He just said, use gopher wood. When he says, use gopher wood, he excludes everything else. And so much of God's word is that way. There are 1,015 commands in the New Testament that someone has identified. And a lot of them are be kind. Well, that means that excludes not being kind or do this. And so God is a God of order in that way. But the principle of exclusion, let's talk about it a little bit. All that defiles or profanes is excluded from heaven. And if we're going to have a heavenly home here on earth, we're going to have to exclude things that defile our home. And if we're not willing to exclude things that defile our home, we're not going to have a heavenly home. It's just that simple. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But this is what's going to enter, they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is a solemn declaration. These are not words that are up for debate. It's a very final solemn declaration that says, there is not a chance that anything that defiles will ever find its way into heaven. There's not a chance. There is no chance. Heaven is a holy place. The utter foolishness of the doctrine of purgatory that has been dreamed up by some religious denomination. It's absolutely utter foolishness that you can live like the devil here on earth and die and be transformed into this glorious saint and go into heaven. It is absolutely foolish. The Word of God says there's not a chance that anything that defiles will ever enter Uranos. And it's a principle that I hope you take it seriously. There's only three today so far. But this is an important one. In our day, this has affected the Church of Jesus Christ in our day in a great way. We need to be willing to exclude whatever defiles, profanes, whatever, our homes. We cannot have those things in our home and have a heavenly home. The principle of exclusion, it's all the way through the Word of God. And we need it. I need it in my life and in my home. You cannot have all that the world has and have a heavenly home. It is impossible. And by the way, God told Noah what wood to use. And it's absolutely amazing the storms that ark endured. And Noah was a wise builder because he did what God said. He used gopher wood. And they've taken replicas of that ark and they've put it in a little test where they had water in this cubicle and they took wind and waves and they say that I think there was up to 300-foot waves that ark was stood in that little, as they did that little test in a little cubicle of water as they blew. It's astounding. The principle of exclusion, brothers, take this principle home. Look over your home, and the kingdom of God suffereth violence. If it's defiling, profaning, threatening, heaven being in your home, don't ask any questions. Exclude it. The principle of exclusion is very important in our homes. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. These are the words of Jesus Christ, and we can know they will be so. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Now, how's everyone doing? There's one more principle I'd like to talk about briefly today. Can we just stand for a little bit? Those that can. Four principles today. God's presence, the principle of honoring God, the principle of exclusion, the last one is the principle of being responsible. The principle of being responsible. You know, this principle is really, really close to the law of sowing and reaping. So, the Bible says that we reap what we sow. Is that right? Does the Bible say that? So, the Bible says we sow what we reap. So, that means that we're responsible for what we sow, doesn't it? All the way through the Word of God, we see this principle of being responsible. There's this thing that only God can do. But sometimes people's view of God is of such that they forget what we're responsible for. And there are things that we are responsible for doing. So I can't sow a bad seed and say, oh, well, God, you know, just like I'm not responsible. The two are very closely connected. And this also affects our homes. You know, we cannot reap an alfalfa seed and expect to have an ear of corn. We're responsible for the seed that we sow. May this principle be, may we take this principle home with us, that God, I'm responsible. There's things in life that I'm responsible for. I want to understand what those are, and I want that principle established in my heart. I want to be responsible. And God needs to help us. You may be seated here. So, since we're talking about the home today, I just want to use a few moments here to convince you parents that you are responsible for the parental government of your home. And you know, maybe you're thinking as well, this and this happened in my childhood, and my dad did this, and the church did this over here, and this happened over here. And so maybe no one's ever told you that you are responsible to guide and govern your home. You are. We are responsible because someday we'll give account for how we did. Someday we'll give account of our stewardship. Parental government of the family. Let me just read a few scriptures here, and I'm trying to make my way on towards closing here. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God says in Genesis about Abraham, He says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of." Now, I know that many of you have done many things for your homes, and I'm only here to build on what you've done. I'm not saying you're not taking this responsibility, but I do want us to think today I do want us today to once again take complete responsibility for my home. It's my responsibility. Have you taken responsibility for your family? Sometimes there's confusion. Sometimes parents are expecting the church to accomplish what only they can. I want to encourage us that the church and the Word of God, this is what's worked. I believe in the Word of God, the church is above the father and the home as an authority. And I believe that I've watched many lives be destroyed where the dad says, no one's telling me what to do. And I could stand here and I could name 20 fellowships and I could tell you where those people are. And I could tell you that that spirit's been in most of those families. Somehow we haven't gotten this one all right, and we're still trying to. But replace that no one's telling me what to do with a humble teachable spirit. Even you young people. Just like last night, again, a young person came to me and says, Brother Aiden, what do you see in my life? Brother Aiden, is there anything I should change? Brother Aiden, you know, it just makes me cry. We need to replace this, no one's telling me what to do, with, please, if you can help me. If you see anything in my life, if you have any input, please, please help me. You have no idea the difference in that heart. Brother Aiden, do you see anything in my life? Can you point anything out that I should work on? That I should change? What do you see? Parents, I share that because that's how I want you to relate to the church of Jesus Christ. As you take the responsibility to govern your home. If you govern your home in this spirit, coming to the church, opening up your life. You know, we're struggling with this in the home. We have this in our home. Do you see anything we should change? You have no idea the blessings of God that can be on that heart, on that spirit. Please get rid of this. No one's telling me what to do. No one's doing that. You know, I could relate stories of we were made, each one of us were made to be governed. We were. I could relate some stories to you of people that died and before they were even 30 that were out just doing what no one was telling them what to do. And many of those young people die in really early death. God designed that we honor our parents. And what did He say? And it will be well with you. But God wants that same spirit for us towards the brotherhood and towards the church. What do you see in my life? What do I need to change? Is anything that I'm wearing offending anyone? Is something I'm doing causing a stumbling block? But back to being responsible for our home. Parents, may God help you. Take the responsibility to govern, guide your home. Truly, there are souls in eternity today. And a lot of the reason they're there is because of parental neglect. Parental neglect. They didn't take the responsibility to guide their home. It is a serious responsibility. It's a serious principle that we want in our lives. Now let's consider some reasons for a lack of this happening in the home. A lack. There's reasons sometimes that I'm not taking the responsibility I should for my home. Past failure. Feeling incapable. Fear of failure, fear I'm just going to do it wrong. Ignorance, maybe I didn't even know that God, I don't even know what God wants me to do. Deception, blame, lack of concern, priorities out of line, headship out of order in the home. This is actually a big one. And more Christian homes than you know, The husband isn't taking the lead role like he should. And so therefore the wife has to. The headship out of order in the home, disgruntled with the church, struggling, maybe many, there's parents that are struggling in their own relationship with each other. Many children's lives have been affected, maybe even lost, by this principle, by the lack of this principle, being responsible for the parental guidance of our home. These children that have lost their way have a message. They have a message to speak to us as a church. And they're never going to come back here and share that message with you. But I'm here today to turn your thoughts to the many that have lost their way. And a lot of it has to do with the parental neglect of guiding the home. Brothers and sisters, it's more important than any business. It's more important than anything else we can do here on earth almost. A heavenly home. The principle of having parental government of the home. The principle of being responsible in our homes. Self-willed, rebellious children that hate God. Many times their will, they were neglected growing up. They were just left to grow up. They weren't nurtured and admonished in the Lord. May God help us. So the question comes, is there anything that is there anything hindering you from taking more full responsibility of your home? Think about that. I know you're all doing well. I want this to be an encouragement. I don't want this to be a doom and gloom message. But I think it's more important than many other things in life is what keeps me from taking more responsibility, from taking full responsibility of my own home. What will be the end of a home where no one is responsible? I think we see that fruit in our society, don't we, brothers? And I know we don't have that here. I want to be an encouragement to you. The Word of God says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Praise the Lord. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he that taketh from him all his armor when he trusted and divides his spoils. 1 Timothy 3:4 talks about one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. There could be more said about the headship order of the home. There could be a lot more said here about our homes, but again, I think we'll just go on to close. I'll just share this scripture. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. In other words, when we're dwelling with our wife, there's things we know that God wants us to practice. Our mind can be 100 other places, but when we're with our wives, when we dwell with them, we should be thinking about what we know. We know things that no one else does. We know their weaknesses, and we should be willing to minister to them, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Principles that will build a heavenly home. This is just a small start. I beg you to meditate on Uranos. And there are many other principles that are being lived in Uranos as we speak. And I want you to have the goal and the vision to have heaven here on earth. That is God's heart. That God does that over and over. I could give you examples of how He does it. But when God created the home, deep in His heart, He wants us to experience a bit of heaven here on earth. And may God give you that inspiration and that vision. The principle of God's presence, the principle of honor, the principle of exclusion, and the biblical principle of being responsible, parental government of the home. The Lord bless you. There's so much good here. I'm sure I've come across too strong, maybe. I don't know. I just want to bless you. I know that that's your hearts. I'm just so blessed by you all very much. Thank you for the beautiful wedding yesterday. And there's a lot I was going to say when I got up here that I probably haven't. But I do want to, again, principles that will build a heavenly home. And if there's a heavenly home here on earth, there's a really, really good chance that whoever's in that home is going to be translated up to Uranos forever and ever and ever and ever. Is that not what we want, brothers? That's what we want. I'll leave you with this account. A man and his young son were climbing a mountain. They came to a place where the climbing was difficult and even dangerous. The father stopped. That is very wise. The father stopped to consider which way he should go. As he was meditatively contemplating, he heard his son behind him say, "Dad, please choose the right path. Dad, I'm coming right behind you. Please choose the right way." The Lord bless you.